again, in line what we have been discussing for many weeks now, you know, we have been talking about the pursuit of holiness, and in it we said that there are, well, let me just say this for a few minutes. I hope I won't risk repeating the things that we have said in previous times too much. Now, I explained that in holiness, we are talking about the purpose you are serving in life, practically. That's what it talks about. Although the fundamental thing behind it is the person that you belong to, but the practical outworking of that is the purpose that you are serving in life. So when we are discussing consecration, which is what holiness is, or sanctification, we are saying that the issue there primarily is not your manner of walk, that is the principles with which you walk, but the purpose you are serving. We said that if you are talking about maybe moral principles, how you walk, things that you do, then you are discussing righteousness. But then, having learned righteousness, what do you use your righteousness to serve? Just by the way, I was having a discussion with somebody yesterday about some issues and the way some people behave and all that. Now, we're just discussing that, and I realized that, I explained to the fellow I was talking with, that one of the issues I found out is that a lot of people who do righteousness, they do it for their own sake. Let me explain what I'm going to say. In fact, we're talking about somebody in particular, something led to it, and I said that I perceive that guy's problem is that he does not understand grace. Are you getting my point? You're somebody laboring very hard so that you will persuade yourself that God has forgiven you of your sins. You know, you are laboring hard, working very hard, so that your soul will be quietened, you know, so that your conscience will cool down, because you want to be able to say that you are walking in a manner that's pleasing to God, so that God can forgive you of your iniquities, your past deeds. So somebody maybe who was a crook before, now he's extremely generous, not for any other reason than he wants to make up for the years in which he was stealing. Are you getting my point? He's not trying to give back. That kind of person, maybe giving is a righteous work. The Bible says that he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Giving is a righteous work. But that guy is not walking in holiness, because the thing he's doing is not to serve the purpose of God, but to obey his own conscience, to serve the purpose of his own conscience. That's why a lot of things that people do, maybe in traditional religions, that they do what sometimes some of us call penance. You are trying to pay God for the thing that you did. It really doesn't work. It shows that you don't understand grace. Are you getting my point? What is grace? If God says, I have forgiven you, it means I have forgiven you. You are not trying to pay back. If he says that, okay, go and do this, then you are obeying the commandment of God. You are not trying to undo the things that you did previously. After David killed Uriah, as an example, there was no way of waking Uriah back again from the dead. There was no way. You just have to be willing to accept that God has forgiven him. I say, what about the case of David? But God did this. Look, God was setting David up as an example. You know, he said, because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed in the nations around. So that's why God did what he did to David. But this point I want you to understand. When God forgives somebody, he has forgiven. But sometimes people start doing righteous works. That's why you see crooks. They become very, very nice and generous. A man who used to be a thief those days, and now he supposedly has given his life to Christ, he's laboring. He's laboring all the time in church. He's always trying to walk. What he's doing is not holiness. What he's doing is he's trying to pacify his conscience. He's somebody who does not understand the grace of God at all. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? He might be doing works of righteousness. That's what I'm trying to explain. But why is he doing the works of righteousness? He's doing it because he feels that, look, when I was on campus, I was in a cult. Now God has forgiven me. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go around campus campaigning against God. Listen to me. God could have called you to do that. But if he did not, doing that is not going to please God. One day you'll be crossing the road, the car will knock you down because God is tired of you. You get what I'm trying to say? The idea is that, look, did you ask for forgiveness? Yes. I have given it to you. Can we move on with life? If I wanted you to be maybe a businessman somewhere, so go there and go and do what I say you should do. If I wanted to be a preacher, go and be a preacher. Stop. That's why, you know, you've heard me say these things again and again. Sometimes I see people, you know, it's very common with musicians. Very, very common with musicians. The day I heard that Kenny Rogers gave his life to Christ, the first CD of his that I bought, I was happy. Now, I'm not a country music person, all right? Then I was not. Maybe now, as you grow older, you tend to cool down in the fire in your soul when it comes to music. But when I was much younger, look, who had time for country music? I liked Michael Jackson, and I liked anybody that made a lot of noise. Just bang the drums and make a lot of noise. I would like you. But you see, first time, one day I heard that Kenny Rogers was not a believer. I just heard it in passing. Then I now went to Latana in Lagos, and I saw on the shelf a Kenny Rogers CD. I said, let me listen to it. They had to put it on a computer for me to even be able to hear the first track. And I liked it so much. What impressed me most was that I'd heard a bit about Kenny Rogers before, that he used to sing love songs, all right? Now, when I heard the CD, from one to, there were 10 or 11 tracks on it, all right? Only the last track said anything about being born again or not. All the man sang throughout was what? Love songs, still. But you know what most people want musicians to do? Now that you have given your life to Christ, you have to now start singing, praise the Lord. You know? You have to start praising the Lord. And like I was preaching somewhere, I wasn't preaching, I was teaching in class, my class actually, medical class. And I said something to them, that there's a particular guy, some of you know who I'm talking about. I said, I don't know what that guy is preaching. You feel your life has been very rough, and you want to pay God back with preaching. Look, listen, if God has not anointed you to preach, you're about to shorten your life. Are you getting my point? If God said, go and sing and be a musician, if you're a rap artist, keep on rapping. Rapping is not ungodly. Are you getting my point? But your lyrics, of course, will reflect your values. You don't have to be a preacher. Like I keep on saying, how many doctors gave their life to Christ and started ministering by laying on of hands? A surgeon gave his life to Christ. Next Monday, he sharpened his knife again and went after the next patient on the operating table. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The guy didn't go around and say, okay, right now I am a Christian, therefore... Oh, all the tumors line up on this side. They said that by his stress you have been healed. Nothing like that. The guy goes to work, his fig is there, his stethoscope is there, he runs his test. It's just that now you see his righteous lifestyle reflecting everything that he does. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. That you see, so a lot of people, you see, every musician, as soon as they give their life to Christ, next thing they do now, you want to start singing gospel music. Of course, they don't make it. After something like, Christianity doesn't work. The man was selling millions of copies before. Now he becomes a believer. He doesn't sell so much anymore. Why? Because even God is not blessing the music he's singing. God said, you can't pay me back. If I want to forgive you, I forgive you. Look, what gives you forgiveness, you know, is faith in Christ Jesus. I like one thing. I was listening to my pastor a few days ago. He said something that really interested me. He said, it was referring to something else he was talking about. He said that, talking about grace, he said, to him that works, in Romans chapter 4, the reward is not of, what do you call that? It's of debt, that you are owing the person. And I said, but to him that believes, all right, that what he was trying to explain is that the same way a man who works knows that you are owing him, therefore he should get. In the same way, the man who believes, though he's not out of debt, all right, he's not owing, you are not owing him, but he knows he will also get. He's also assured. That is the amount of claim the man who labored, all right, has on what he's expecting. The man who also believes has as great an amount of claim. So though I did not labor to get an inheritance, it doesn't mean, all right, that I won't lay as much claim on it as the man who labored. Because God said, believe, I have believed. Therefore, I know God will bring it to pass. If God says, I have forgiven you, he's not there trying to say that, okay, you know what? What you're going to do now is that, well, put your sins on a scale. We weighed it. It's quite heavy. Therefore, you shall be doing righteous works on this side. Maybe one day you will tip the balance. That's what a lot of people try to do. That's why, look, sometimes, you know me, I'm a bit odd. I sit down watching TV. So you are a movie star. And then you want to now go around and start talking, persuading others that Christ is good. Listen, to me, you're just another baby Christian. Go to school and go and learn the basics of the word of God. A man gives his life to Christ. He said, I was number 3 in devil's kingdom. Is a confusion between you and Satan that you became number 3. It doesn't impress me. Are you getting my point? You could have been anything. You could have been a priest from your mother's womb, or you could have been a harlot, or you could have been devil himself. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You are new. You don't know anything. Don't teach me occultism. I don't want to learn it. I don't want to see Satan. This is how we do. I don't want to see Satan. And that principle does not help me see God. You are getting what I'm going to say. So stop going around campaigning as if let me pay Satan back for what? For goodness sake, we are forgiving you. You are a baby. You are a new creature. You know, very green creature. You know, very new. You don't know anything. Shut your mouth. Go and learn. I'm never impressed that an important man gives life to Christ. If you give him a microphone, I'll walk out. What does he have to say? Anything more than his testimony, I don't want to hear. He said, when the bony calls, were the armor bearers. Listen, my friend, you are a new creature right now. In this place, you bear nothing. Do you understand my point? You will come as a babe. and receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. I'm not impressed with your magnitude in the kingdom of Satan. What you are thinking is that you think your clout will preach the gospel. It won't. What we are using to move the gospel of Christ forward is not what they are using in the world to get things done. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. You know, I don't know how I got to this level, actually. I was trying to explain something about righteousness. That when you are doing righteousness, what are you trying to save? Are you trying to save your own conscience? Or you are trying to save the purpose of God? If God has forgiven somebody of iniquity, he has forgiven. He's not saying go and start paying back. The payment that is necessary has been made. The only thing you need, I'm going to be teaching this on radio because I think the world needs to know this. A lot of things people don't understand, all right, about Christianity is because we have misrepresented our Christ Jesus. If we have represented him well, he knows how to draw men unto himself. You are getting what I'm going to say here? We have misrepresented Christianity. What's Christianity? God is saying, look, I have forgiven you people. Come, let's walk together. That's the thing. Are you getting my point? If I like one thing, if you ever read Paul Ginodu, Paul Ginodu said he gave his life to Christ. Do you know why? He was a Muslim, born, bred, grew up as a Muslim. It wasn't because he felt the God of the Muslims wasn't the real God. He felt the God of the gospel of the Christians was a shorter and easier means to please the same God. What was it that happened? Islam has a rule. You pray 5 times a day as an adult. All right? If you miss 1 time today, you pray 6 times tomorrow. That is, anyone you miss, you make up. Now, after going to England to go to school, where his mother carried him to because she was afraid of the rivals in the polygamous home, he didn't pray for years. Are you getting me? So one day he went, somebody invited him for a gospel meeting, and there was a crippled person right beside him. And as they began to pray, that guy got up, that he watched his feet straighten. Not somebody went to the front to testify that while I was back there. No, this one was beside him. And he shouted like, what's going on here? He saw a crippled man healed. So he said, these people must be telling the truth. Now, he didn't think that his own people were not telling the truth. He said, well, since the same God, and this God said, only believe. He calculated all the years of prayer he needed to make up for. I think this is an easier one. And he said, if I believe, I don't have to pray that prayer again. He said, no, he said, I'm fine. Now, I think all of us have to understand that. He understood that in simply. Look, I have missed doing some things. Once I believe, I don't try now to do what I did not do before. I start doing what God says do from today. Anyone that's past is past. Are you getting my point? So when we're operating the principles of righteousness, what purpose we are operating them is what defines what holiness is. Are you getting my point? That is, what am I trying to do? Now, we discussed these things in previous weeks. Now, in the last few weeks, I now began to explain that they are generally, for ease of my own communication with you, I divided the purpose of God in your life into 3 zones. Number one, let's start from the back this time around because that's how we'll be expounding them. We said there's what God wants to do for the world through you. Then there's what God wants to do for the church, the body of Christ, through you. And we say in these 2 cases, there is what the Bible calls a grace that you have according to, or a gift that you have according to a grace, an ease, all right, that has been given to you to be able to do work. That God will use those things to bless people. And I've said the last and most important is the one I tackled, actually it was supposed to be the first, because I'm tackling it last, is what God wants to do in you, all right? Last week, I spoke extensively. I can't remember most of the things I said, all right? But I know I spoke a lot, all right, if you were around last week. And what I wanted to say, when I said we should open to Philippians chapter 3, was I wanted to read the issue about coming into Christ, because, and I'm going to develop that again further today, that there is something that God wants to do in you. All right? He wants to walk through you, I know. But first and foremost, there's what he wants to do where? Inside you. And that is about the most important thing that you should understand. Paul explained that this is a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's read that one. We should start from that. Colossians chapter 1. This is the most important thing. What God wants to do in you. Let's just start from verse 18. Now, he was talking about Christ Jesus here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. It said, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. In everything. Notice that word, everything. Every sphere of your life, every sphere of this existence. He said, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Talking about Christ Jesus still. He now said, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. He said, if indeed, that is, you become like this, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, notice that. He said that he wants to present you before him, holy, that is, before God, and blameless and beyond reproach. That's what God wants to do in your life. To present you before God, before himself, holy, blameless, beyond reproach. Notice these things. He said, you will become like this if indeed, verse 23, you continue in the faith. Notice this is a process. Because Paul was trying to explain. Because I use the New American Standard. And he put a very good punctuation there. Actually, he puts a dash to explain the thing. That is, the way by which God will do what's going on in verse 22 is what I'm explaining in verse 23. He said, if you continue, it's a process, in faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope, that is an expectation, of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister, somebody to distribute this substance. That's what a minister is. He said, now listen to this. What was he trying to say? That there is a hope, and that hope that the gospel of God is about. That is, God has an expectation. There is something that God wants to do in your life, and he expects you to be waiting for that thing. That's what he calls a hope. He said, that is what the gospel is talking about. He now said that, now, of this gospel, I have been made a minister. Now, listen to this. He said, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. My emphasis is not there. I'm going down to a particular verse. I just needed to read up to this. He said, of this church, I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. This is very important because that's actually what I want to talk about today. The preaching of the word of God. My Bible supplies that word here in New American Standard. The preaching of the word of God. Paul said, I was made a minister. I explained something to you before about what it means to be a minister. A minister is somebody that serves something. Are you getting my point? That is, if I came to your house, it's your birthday party, and I sat down and one of your friends comes to me and say, please, what would you like to drink? I say, please give me water. And the person serves me water. He is a minister of water. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, he's serving me water. You can call him a minister of your party. That is, he's helping you serve during the party. But what makes him a minister is that he's giving something to somebody. Now, Paul now said that this is how I do what I'm supposed to do. I do the preaching of the word. That is how I serve this hope to people. Now, I'm going somewhere. He said, what am I preaching? That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Notice something. He's saying that God wants his saints to understand something, and he said that thing is a mystery. Which means that people before now did not understand it. It was hidden. But he wants them to understand. And that understanding is what I am communicating as a minister. That's what I'm ministering. What is he trying to explain here? He said that mystery. Now, it sounds very foolish. That mystery is this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you understand what he's saying, you find out that Paul said that all I have been called to do is to explain one principle. that if Christ is in you, then every form of glory will be automatically manifested. Listen, Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I told you before, glory does not mean, is not a halo you paint on the head of Jesus Christ in a photograph. It's not when you draw the Holy Family and you put light around them. That is not glory. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'll explain something. Actually, let me go on from here. Because actually, this is what I want to explain today. You see, I noticed something. I was listening to a message during the week, and a scripture which I think I should have read in the past, and I've read before again and again, jumped back at me from that message. And I knew that was what I was supposed to continue saying, that I continued from last week. Notice this. It said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I said, glory is not an abstract thing. Glory is not an imagination. Now, let me say, it's not something we convince ourselves about as Christians. You go to church, you say, wow, was it not a glorious service? An unbeliever there was bored throughout. Are you getting my point? An average person who is not amongst your official people thought it was a dull service. But you tell yourself it was a glorious service. Let me tell you something about glory. Whether you like it or not, you recognize it. That is, if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. But you at least recognize it. It's not something somebody describes to you. Say, come. See that guy going behind? Yeah, in between those two buildings. Look, you will see. And that's glory. Glory is the one that causes people to turn to look. Do you get what I'm saying here? That is, if I'm passing and fire, a great fire is burning somewhere. You don't need to tell me, observe that fire. It attracts my attention. I feel the heat. I see the radiance of the light it is emitting. Instantly, I turn to look. That's what glory is. Are you getting what I want to say here? That is, Paul was explaining that men sinned. That's why they stopped experiencing that thing. God stopped manifesting in their lives. Let me explain what I mean by glory again. If David were to face Goliath again, all right, and kill Goliath, it would be network news. That is glory. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? The first time David faced Goliath, you know what happened. People began to sing. Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed his 10,000s. That is, the thing that happened stirred up jealousy in the heart of the king. That is what glory is. I am going somewhere very soon because, you see, my gospel is relevant. You know, by my gospel, I am preaching to people whose lives will be touched and transformed by the words that I am speaking. And I'm explaining something about glory. Because when God wants to do things in the lives or in people's lives, I told you something like about that last week. This is what we do instinctively. We start trying to work out how it is going to be. Do you get my point? But Paul said, this is what I do. I do one job. I go out. I fully carry out the preaching of the word. That is, this is what creates things. The preaching of the word. I'm going to read that from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's as the word is preached that something that did not exist before begins to be created. Human beings usually will extrapolate from things that have happened in the past. Are you getting my point? That is why people want to die to go to America. That is why people will sell their birthright. You see the most beautiful, most intelligent girls marry idiots just because they came from America. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a matter of perception. That is, the girl has looked that there is no how on earth I can achieve anything. Maybe, look, I told you before, there is nothing wrong in life about dreaming great dreams. If you decide that the house you want to live in will be like that of Puff Daddy, who used the whole building as a wardrobe. Listen, there is nothing wrong with that. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you like it, fine, dream big. Last week I told you, lie down and dream big. And sometimes it's not even as frivolous as wanting Puff Daddy's wardrobe. It's something that is real. A friend of mine told me something some time ago. He came to my house and said that, look, I'm emigrating. I'm going to South Africa. I said, why? No. Now, listen, this is one we're extremely poorly paid. I have always been a man of strong faith. God has also always told me that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I have never doubted that word. So even when I hardly had enough money to move around, I believed it strongly. A friend of mine came in and said, I'm going to South Africa. I'm going to start practicing medicine. I said, why? He said, then he began to talk. Listen to me. This guy told me about the things that are upon him to solve in life. For example, he told me that his younger sister had a congenital heart defect. and that the girl has to have surgery one day, and somebody has to come up with that money. And he has thought about it. He's the only person that he sees in his house coming up with that amount of money. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he has looked around. I said, how can this thing be that I will have this? Now, are you getting the point I'm making? That day, I remember very well. When this young man left, you know, I think it's Brown Duncan, one of these musicians that sang in My Utmost for His Highest, one particular CD. He says something that sometimes I shout very boldly about my faith. You know, when the sky is clear, he said, but when this cloud starts to gather, I begin to see my faith turn to fear. I have said it before, a lot of people who have faith is because they have never seen the giants. Are you getting my point? The day they see the giants, their faith weakens. And God, he said, let me tell you, God will allow you to see little giants once in a while to help you know whether you really have faith or you don't. He's not angry with you, just wants you to know that you yet don't have faith. That day this guy spoke, suddenly I felt very foolish. I realized that I've been believing God, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. It's just because I have thought about myself alone. Maybe my parents has expectation of me. Maybe somebody thought I would do something. I thought about that. And God, my heart, I won't lie to you, my heart was depressed for a moment. And thank God for his goodness. The Spirit of God quickened something in me simply. He said, except a man hates his brother and father and mother and brother, he said he cannot be my disciple. This man said something like this. What is his name? Oswald Chambers, he said, the cost of discipleship is not what it costs you as a person. It's what it costs those that you really love. That is, except your heart of your father, your mother breaks, you are not yet God's disciple. That one day God will make you do things that your father will want to deny you as a son. Look, listen. Instantly, and let me tell you something, God loves your loved ones more than you can possibly ever conceive loving them. Do you get what I want to say here? And listen, he will have done greater things for them, if you would obey him, that you could ever, are you getting my point? Strive to do for them. So that day, as soon as that word dropped in my heart, I said, Father God, I thank you. I jumped back straight into my faith. Are you getting my point? Jumped back into my faith. And I can tell you assuredly, my parents don't wish I was in America. They don't wish it. Are you getting my point? For the amount of love and affection that I showed to them, they don't wish I was anywhere. One prayer I used to pray for them, my wife will bear me witness. I said, one of the things I want, I said, God, that they might be in health and live long, so that they will see the glory of God in my life. That the words that I preach in their presence, they will see it come to pass. Do you get my point? Let me get back to what I'm going to say. So my friend, that day when he spoke, what was he speaking? I realized he was working out the way things could be, naturally speaking. And he said, there is no way. Are you getting my point? For him, there is no way. And Paul said, you see, what he needs is a manifestation of God's glory. And that the only way it comes is by the preaching of the word. Oh, I don't know whether I get my point. That is, you see, what we could not extrapolate from the things that happened before, God said, this is how I will bring it in your life. Listen to this. He said, just listen. Just sit down and hear me talk. Sit down and hear the word of God. Then one day you arise, everything has been done. Oh, I don't know whether I get my point. Let me show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm explaining that this is what glory is. When that guy, when he comes back and sees that where he thought nothing could come out of, not only is somebody paying expensive medical bills for a relation, but paying for those that he or she did not know, then he will say, indeed, this is the glory of God. That is, there's no other explanation for this than the fact that God sent forth his Spirit and produced something that he did not expect before. Are you getting my point? Paul said it. The only way by which you will experience this, I said something last week, that it is not by striving, it's by getting appropriately magnetized, you get what I say, and then you will attract the right things in life. So Paul said, it is Christ in you. So what I am preaching is that word of Christ. It's by that word that Christ will be formed in you. And once it is formed, whatever God has called you to do in life will automatically happen. You can't help it. Do you get the point that I make here? That is, once Christ landed and he began to walk, in fact, where did I start from? Joseph had to be born, Mary had to be born. That is, they are not yet come. All right, but the purpose of God is about to be done. Joseph had no choice but to marry a Mary. Do you get my point? Listen, the word filled all the room so that Mary could deliver in an unusual place. How shall this thing be? Mary asked. Gabriel said, No, he said, seeing that I know no man. Gabriel said, you don't understand the hope of glory. You don't understand the preaching of the word. He said that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Literally, it says, no word of God shall be void of power. Once I say, you shall bear a son, in that word, there is all the men, you know what I mean, that you will ever need. There is all the supplies you will ever need to bring forth that child. Don't ask questions that, how shall it be, seeing that I know no man. He said, all you need to know is that I have spoken to you that it will happen. Do you get my point? He said that, listen, you don't know who's talking to you. He said, my name is Gabriel. I have brought a word from God, and no word of God shall be void of inherent abilities to bring it to pass. Oh, I told you something last week. Don't ever forget it. Lie down and dream great dreams. In between lying down, get up and hear good word. After that, get down and dream great dreams. Then get up and hear good word. Listen, your life will never be average. Look, listen, this is why God has sent me here. This is why God gave life to people like me, is to ensure that, listen, God, I told you last week that God needs to showcase his glory. He needs somebody to show forth as an example. I told you earlier that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He does not have any proper name. He doesn't have an address. If you want to describe him, you must attach somebody's name to it, to him. Are you getting my point? When people was going to explain, he said, "You have heard, and Peter, you have heard of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." They said, "Yes." How God, how he went around doing good. How God filled him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Say, yes, that's the God I'm talking about. There is no other way to explain God more than describe somebody he has shown his glory in his life. No other way. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen. Are you getting me? Which we have heard, which we have seen, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That's the only one we can declare to you. The only way you can describe God is through the life of those he has touched. When Jacob was going to explain God to Laban, he said, "Well, you know that God of my father Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, that is the only way I can explain this God, is how he related to people that you know." Do you know that Paul never had the time to be explaining the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to the Gentiles? You know why? They didn't care about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not their fathers. Are you getting my point? The only one he could explain is, you have heard of Jesus Christ. Yes, the guy does good. He's still doing it right now. Any sick person here, and he's preaching, we'll see that in a moment, the word begins to produce in the lives of the people. He said, that is the God I'm talking about. What am I trying to say? You can never, look, all this preaching of, somewhere here, you heard that this happened, or you read one or two scriptures, it is good, it is not bad. But the real preaching is what God has done in your personal life. Is what God has done in the life of somebody that the person you are talking to knows. And let me tell you this, there are times that God needs such things he can't find. We think that God is sovereign. Anytime he wants, he just turns stones to praise us. Look, even David explained that God, only the living can praise thee. Forget stones, though. Are you getting the point I'm letting me? What I'm trying to say is that sometimes you think that God can just, no, God has a procedure. Are you getting my point? The procedure is that for me to turn things around, I must set up examples. God said, before I could condemn the whole world, I needed a Noah. Paul said it like this, it was Noah that condemned the world. How did he do it? By building the ark and walking into the ark. And when God closed the door of the ark, the earth was condemned. That is, without Noah, there was no condemnation. Do you get my point? I'm going to explain something here, that God wants to describe himself. He finds nobody to use. Nobody. Everybody is trying to use the same methods as the world to get results. That is, you labor as hard as they do. You are as connected as they are. You join the same parties to get to office. At the end of the day, God can't use you as a showcase of his glory. Let me tell you, it's a serious need that God has. A serious one. A serious one. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said once. One day I was listening to one of his messages. He says, one of his cousins went home and said he's now a believer. And a lot of most people in their family were Muslims. I said, he's now a Christian. He said, somebody asked that, which kind of Christian are you? Are you the type of Christian of Brother David? Our Brother David. He said, yes. He said, okay, that one is a good one. That's a good one. That you are serving the good God. Because if you are not that type, we don't know the God you are talking about. Do you understand what I'm going to make here? That is, they needed his life as a reference to the address of the true God. You are getting the point I'm making. I must learn something that is a call. You know, I told you something about righteousness in a generation. That each generation, God has something he wants to do. I said this thing before, that what God needs in Nigeria now, is not the people that never is not taking light in their house. No. It's people that he will use as references, that people will give their lives, all right, as examples of what God can do. There's a book I read recently, even here, even now. It's things like that God is talking about. This book there's a compilation of young people in Nigeria who began businesses from next to nothing and built good businesses, all right? Some of them are in their middle ages now. And the title of the book is Even Here, Even Now. That is the kind of thing that God wants to do. You know the interesting part? He drops ideas. This is how God does. He drops ideas into people's minds as a seed. And he said, this is the way it works. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That thing will come out in life if Christ is built up in you. But people say, no, connection in life, the hope of glory. A good visa, the hope of glory. A good education, the hope of glory. To get the best jobs in the best places, the hope of glory. God say, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Oh, foolish Nigerians, who has bewitched you that you have forgotten the truth of the gospel? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. And at the end of the day, you know the interesting part? God, look, the man will still carry a microphone and start fooling people about his own gospel. I told you the major problem, as far as I'm concerned, the body of Christ that God has right now is that we misrepresent his gospel. We do. What am I talking about today? I talk about the purpose of God in your life. What I'm actually emphasizing on today is that God wants to glorify Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That what does he want to do with your life? He wants to glorify Christ Jesus in your life. That's what he wants to do. That is, watch this guy. This is what I'm going to do in his life. I will build up Christ in him. And then you'll see the things that will come out of the building up of Christ in him. Are you getting my point? You know what he said to Abraham? He said, walk before me and be perfect. And I will bless you. I told you before, God is not in a hurry. Listen, God is not competing. Stop giving all these kind of funny, childish things. You say, I have told God, within the next 3 years, shut your mouth. You know what you do? All you can tell God is, God, every day I will hear, every day I will listen, every time I will buy books, every time I will listen to tapes, every time I will listen to CDs, and this is the vision I have. As for the timing, none of your business. I have told God. You know, all those I have told God is a competitive and envious spirit. Because you have told God, in the next 5 years, it's because you have seen somebody else do it in 6 years. So you want to break that record. Because, listen, I can do it yesterday. That's why I'm called the same God, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I could have done it yesterday. Why don't I do it as quickly? If you've not listened to that message, go and listen to it. God is not slow. It's because I don't just do things. I wait for Christ to be formed in you in different levels. And that is the expectation of glory. That's how it comes. Concerning Abraham, God called him. He said, look, I'm going to do this through you. But he said, number one, walk before me and be perfect. That is, there's going to be a walk between you and I, and I'll continue building something in you. And at each stage, you will experience something new. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? Every experience, Abraham learned something. Finally, when he was ready, God said, okay, this year, how it's going to be. Your son is coming forth. And when he finally came forth, that was the quickening of the dead. That is, his body that was dead regained life. Then one day God said, come and sacrifice Isaac. I told you this before. God was not testing Abraham per se. Let me explain what I'm going to say. That was that God tested Abraham. But this is what I'm going to say. He was demonstrating what he had done in the life of Abraham. Because there must always be a demonstration of God's righteousness. That is, before God blesses a man beyond his neighbors, he will explain to the devils and the angels that this is why I'm doing it. He knows. He's not in doubt. But he needs to demonstrate it. That is, there was not one chance in 100,000 billion, all right, that Abraham will fail that test. God doesn't brag on people he can't brag on. I don't know what you're going to say. He doesn't make that mistake. He looked at Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? You understand what I'm saying? It was God's, that is, God knew that this guy, there is no chance in a million that you'll be able to make him fail. They didn't start that day. It was a process of working with God. And they got to a level and God started bragging on them. And when God got to that level, in Abraham's case, he said, now, by myself I have sworn. Did he not promise before? How come it is now he's saying, by myself I have sworn? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he now got to a point. He was saying, Abraham, even if you go crazy after now, it's done. There's nothing that can turn this thing around anymore. Everything that is necessary has been done. What am I trying to say? That is, there was a walk. It took God 25 years before Isaac came, and then until Isaac grew up to a particular age, before God now tested him. 40 years thereabout of walking with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you know, we say, now, God, I have told God indeed the next 5 years. God said, look, I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not in a hurry. I am not competing with anybody. What I just want is that there must be a constant building up of Christ in you. I told you that what the purpose of God is this, like Paul was explaining, that he might present you to himself, all right, holy, blameless, without blemish. And it's as those things are being formed that what God proposed to do in your life becomes manifest on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? And all these challenges of life, as look, God wants to show to people. Listen, I told you that God needs a showcase for his glory. God wants to show to people on the earth that no matter the challenges, I can do what I want to do. You understand the point I'm trying to make here? That's what God, you see, look at Abraham. Abraham as an example. God called Abraham. God, Abraham went out. One of the first lessons of faith that God allowed Abraham to learn was when he was tested, when he instigated a small quarrel amongst the headsmen of Lot and the headsmen of Abraham, yes. And Abraham called Lot and said, look anywhere you like, go, choose. And the Bible said Lot looked towards the plains of Sodom. And it was well watered like the garden of the Lord, that is the garden of Eden. Therefore, he went that way. And Abraham went the other way. You know what God, what Abraham just showed to God? That I have understood that blessings are not found in geographical locations, but that wherever I go, I attract blessings to those places. That if it appears dry now, I know that you will pour water upon it. Forget it. That is why the man of faith is willing to choose last. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've come to understand long ago that there is nothing that is mine that gets into another person's hands. You know, I was cracking a joke in the house this afternoon, and Joe was asking me why. You know, my son Olubenga was crying, and I joked and I said, why are you crying as if somebody took your wife? I said, for your information, a man should never cry if somebody took his wife. I said, you must never cry. I'm talking to a 2-year-old boy. So Joy said, sir, I don't understand. What do you mean? I said, cry over a wife that walked out by herself. I said, you must never cry. I said, if you wanted to marry and the girl's father refused and they fought you, you can cry. I said, peradventure, you were the man that was unfortunate enough to agree to marry Micah after David ran away. You understand? The son of the daughter of Saul. I said, if you're unfortunate and you now love the girl, and then David now became king, and he took the woman away by force, you might cry. I said, but if a man entices away the girl he wanted to marry, I said, rejoice and be glad, because it takes away the first to establish the second. That God showed you about to marry a witch you did not know. He has shown the manifestation of witchcraft in her life. You should rejoice for the deliverance of God. You're telling me your daddy about one big man, if I mention his name, one of the big governors in Nigeria, all right? Somewhere in the south, all right? They said the governor that he took away a guy's wife to be many years ago, about 12 years ago. How did he do it? The young girl traveled abroad for some time, and then the guy met her there. And first time he met her, he dashed her £5,000. They said that till today, the guy has not married. I said, he's a very foolish man. You should tell him to tune in to Cosmo FM 8:30 p.m. on Monday. Let him hear the gospel. Listen, I'm a minister of faith. I will tell him the truth. He will marry the next day. What happened was that they broke. Oh, no. I understood what happened to him. Because he trusted the girl so much, you know, that kind of thing. And then a man used money, bought her away from him, and dumped her afterwards. And now the girl has married somebody else, and you are there lamenting. I said, you don't understand revelation. God just revealed to you that this girl is not as good as you thought she was. Do you get the one and say, oh, you look at me? I told my son, I said, listen, are you crying over? Somebody took your wife. I said, forget. No, I'm not saying that women are not worth it. That's the rubbish statement. What I'm saying is that if they took your wife and the wife used leg to wakago, you will rejoice and be glad. It's called deliverance from above. The Bible says, he that is pleasing to God will escape from her, and a sinner will be enticed. You have just shown to God you are not a sinner. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is one of the first lessons God taught Abraham. And Abraham learned it and he was tested. And do you know, after that, God said, get up here, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everywhere you see, I have given to you. That is, the man first showed God, I have learned that thing. I'm not running after. That is, after you have learned that, God said, do you want American visa? Here it is. You want Australian visa? Here it is. You want Sudanese visa? Here it is. You want Malawi visa? Here it is. Anywhere you want to go, go now. Because first you understood that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings down another. That's how it works. God builds you up in faith, then he can produce something in your life. And at the end of the day, look, I told that God's glory, when he said, my glory I won't share with another, God is not greedy. It's not as if only me, I like the glory. I will take it. Nobody else can get any bit of it. No. What God is saying is that, look, if Satan does it for you, go and give the glory to Satan. But I will do it for you, and then you will glorify me. Is he okay by you? When he has done it, then you cannot give his glory to another. Let me tell you, look, you know, God wrestles with people. At least, let me help you. He said, no. He said, let me help you. He will be dragging. Let me help you. Let me help you. After some time, he said, okay, go. Some of the problems people have had in life is God wrestling with them, trying to help them. So the guy your whole heart trusted in, this man will help me. Then he disappoints. God said, don't be angry. Forgive when you come to pray. That is, take your mind away from relying on human beings. We are doing a series on radio very shortly. Why people don't receive from God. Number one reason is that they have graven images. So that when God wants to help them, when God finishes helping them, they will share the glory with another. And God said, no, I won't do that. So I take time trying to, you know, prune you of all graven images. That's why every time you are disappointed, you should rejoice and be glad. What's God doing? He's helping you to understand that if I don't help you, you will not be helped. Are you getting my point? That the only help you need in life is the one that I can give. That is why you are privileged to live in a country that all kinds of crazy things happen. So that God can show that the inheritance inside you cannot be touched by the things happening around. Do you understand my point? One of the greatest statements I heard from Bishop Oyedepo's mouth those days, he said that he used to tell God, if you will not bless me here, don't bless me anywhere. Otherwise, how will I be able to tell that my people can be saved? That is, the only person who can deliver the spirit of salvation to them is the person who is touched with the feeling of their infirmities. He says, he told God, listen, if you won't bless me here, don't bless me anywhere. I have to be able to tell my people that they can be saved. How does he do it? Let's continue. Well, I said we should open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mentioned something along this time last week. And this is so important, I explain it. That's when I said that something happened during the week and it kindled my understanding there again. I said, no, this is where I'm supposed to continue from. Because Paul said, labor to enter into his rest. That is, to enter his rest is what? Labor. It's hard work that you do to get into God's rest. Is anyone that has entered his rest, that's the one that has ceased from his own works. That is, God has now begun his own work in the life of that person. Now, this is what he said. How do you get in there? I want to start reading from verse 17 because you help you understand what I want to say. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. He said, for the word of the cross. Notice what he said earlier when we read from Corinthians chapter 1. He said that I might fulfill what? The preaching of the word of God. He's now explaining it here, that this is what Christ sent me to do, to preach the gospel. Now, it's not the cleverness of speech. He said, because if my speech is too clever and I persuade people by that cleverness, I have made the cross of Christ ineffective. He said, why? Verse 18. For the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. If you have a King James, he says, those who are saved. I like New American Standard. It gives the proper rendering. He said, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I said something earlier that you will see that it's a process. I mentioned that earlier when we were in Colossians chapter 1. And that's what he is emphasizing here. He said, the preaching of the cross, that's what he's saying. When the cross is being preached, it does not appear to make any sense. But to those it is affecting, are you getting my point? It is the power of God. The emphasis there is on the word, the preaching. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. He said, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Go down to verse 21. He said, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, literally the foolishness of preaching, to save those who believe. That's something I want you to understand. It said, for the Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. That is Gentiles. The Jews were used to the power of God. But the Greeks standing for the Gentiles, actually Greek because of their own society, but generally for the Gentiles, they search for wisdom. What is wisdom? The 12 effective keys to business development. Are you getting my point? The power of networking. 17 habits of highly effectual and successful businesses. That is, these days, a lot of preachers have been converted to preaching business principles. I am not saying they don't work, but that is not the power of Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, he said, when you will get results from the word of God, when you hear that word, it will appear foolish. Before I continue reading, let me tell you my first experience with this. If you've heard me teach for a long time, you'll probably have heard this story. Once I was in university, I was president of my fellowship on campus at the age of 18. Most people did not know. So you can imagine that at the age of 18, I was president of a fellowship. Yet people brought all their problems to me. What is this boy going to tell you? But since you did not know how boyish he was, there was no problem. One day, a sister walked up to me. I remember after fellowship, many fellowship and people were just milling around. She just walked up, just touched me. He said, sir. And when I saw her face, she had been crying the whole day. He said, please pray for me. I said, about what? He said, I'm about to be withdrawn from my faculty. I did not even have the power to pray and say, in Jesus' name, I declare you will not be withdrawn. Holy God, nothing. I just said, what's your room number again? She told me. I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. That was not for her, it was for me. So that I will go and settle down and think of what I will tell this young lady. Because as for that withdrawal, I don't know what I am going to do about it. They withdraw you after they have considered certain issues. Am I going to revert those things they considered? Now listen to this. As a young man, I went home and I prayed. I went to my hostel. So next evening, of course, she was waiting. I took my Bible. I went there, knocked on the door. I walked in, sat down. And later I found out the Spirit of God took over. Then I did not know, all right? I didn't understand some of the things I understand now. Then the Spirit of God took over. And I began to speak. I just said, how are you? I'm fine. Okay, let me just share some things with you. And then I began to speak. Now, what did I say? As God is my witness, I can't remember. I didn't remember immediately after. I mean, but what do I remember? I remember that as I was speaking, the face that was dejected began to lighten up. He said they looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were no longer ashamed. I noticed that by the time I finished talking, this girl couldn't stop laughing. I remember that very well. It's now I understand what Paul meant, that when the Bible said that Paul was preaching and preaching, then he noticed that somebody had faith to be healed. He saw it in the guy's face and said, quickly, get up. You are well. You know, by the time I finished preaching, this girl couldn't hold back from laughing. I'm sure I just prayed at the end and I left. And I forgot about it. This is the foolishness of preaching. I did not tell her what to do. I did not tell her how God will do anything. I just declared the word of God, said a word of thanksgiving, and walked out. Many weeks later, she walked back to me again in fellowship and said, sir, I'm not being withdrawn anymore. The dean said, if I do this, we'll do this, we'll repeat this course, we'll do that. Then those of us who do it effectively will be taken back into the faculty.
That was the solution to the problem.
I couldn't work it out. I was a student like her, just a little bit her senior. Are you getting my point? Age-wise, that time, if that girl younger than me, it would have been a miracle. That is, if it is level of us, just ignoramuses all together. But when I went in my capacity, because she came to receive something, are you getting my point? All I had to do was give her the word, foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching. And then that thing begat results. Oh, let me not bore you with too many stories. What's God trying to tell you? What is God trying to tell us? That is what it means to be glorified. You get my point? I told you that God wants to glorify his son in you. And this is how he does it. Listen, if you are a Christian, you want to succeed in life, and you are not attending to the foolishness of preaching, I don't think you have any plans for success. I really don't think you do. If instead of going to hear the foolishness of preaching, you are there attending the wisdom of the Greeks, networking because the PDP executives are coming to town. Do you get my point? A man told me, I shared it with you some time ago. A man told me once that a brother was telling him something that, look, you know his plan? That he's going to use his degree, hide it. That is, he'll drop his degree, walk into the house of one of the directors of maybe ExxonMobil or Shell, and take his job as a houseboy. And that he will work so hard, Absalom spirit. He will work very hard. So much that the man will be impressed. And then one day the man will come and say, young man, what's your story? And he will say, sir, I have no man. Actually, I have a certificate. Actually, I studied engineering. Actually, and then the man will say, what? This happened all this while and I never knew. And that the man will be so impressed. The man will place him in a job in that company. He said, if it takes me 4 years to achieve that, it will have been worth it. I said, tell him he has a spirit that ends men in poverty. Is the spirit of Absalom. One day we hang on a tree and a Joab will pierce him through the heart. Go and read it. That was what Absalom did in Israel. While people like Solomon were listening to wisdom, Absalom was scheming. Do you get my point? That is, Solomon will tell you that my father used to say to me, Absalom said, I shave my hair as a national event. Then at the end of the day, you know, they show up your face, and then when they come to the palace, you are there greeting the people. You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. Oh, what's your case? You are networking, you are campaigning. The wisdom of the Greek. But what brings a Solomon to the throne? The father will say, sit down. He say, yes, sir. My son, attend to my words. Yes, sir. Incline your ear to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to them that find them and health to their whole body. He said, yes, sir. He said, mark the path of the adulterous woman. This is how she does it. Yes, sir. Any man who does this, the man is imbibing wisdom. Is hearing words. Is hearing words. Those words we crystallize into events physically to bring him to the throne. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? What is the foolishness of preaching? That is, a man goes, and the Bible says, Jesus said it like this, he said, the poor has the gospel preached to them. Why is this man not laboring hard? He said, first, I must labor to enter into rest. Until then, he that labors, labors in vain. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early to go to bed late because he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. He said, I must get to a place where God will give to me even while I'm sleeping. How do I get there? Paul said, this is how it goes. Oh. There is a foolishness called preaching. Oh, no wonder. He told Timothy. He said, give attention to the reading of scripture. That is, as long as people are hearing the word, they can never fail in life. Are you getting the point I'm making? I told you last week. Let me say it again. I've said this one before. Let me first say this and I'll tell you what I said last week. I know in this life, I am too connected. You know, I said this many years ago. It's getting surer and surer every day in my heart. I said in this life, I am too connected. And let me tell you the reason, which is what I said last week. Say, God has given me a privilege in life. You know what's the privilege? I am a minister. I don't mean I'm a preacher. There are many preachers that don't minister jack. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. You know what somebody's glory is his shame? Things that he should be ashamed of, he brags about it publicly. So when I say I'm a minister, I mean that God has given me the privilege to serve the power to excel and succeed in life to people. And it's not possible, even if it's only one out of 10 lepers that remembers the man who cleansed them, I will be remembered. Do you get what I'm saying? When I said I'm connected, what I meant was that I see many young people who physically speaking don't amount to anything, listening to me. And I know that my wisdom is drawn from afar. It's not common wisdom. It's not popular wisdom. It is the wisdom of God. I'm persuaded about that. I'm not joking about it. My wife said something I've quoted many times. He said, when people talk about backsliding, it has never crossed my mind about you. Because I'm not aware you live for anything else. That is, even my wife knows. Mike Mundog said that if your friends don't know your passion, you don't have one. So my wife knows that I have sold my life to declare this gospel. It shows I believe it. You are getting my point? So I know what I am saying. I know it will come to pass. Therefore, I said I'm very connected. I know that great men that I'm not doing a club of networking. You know, like, okay, Kingdom World Associates Business Group. So please buy from each other so that you can multiply each other's businesses. No. What do I do? Every Saturday, I engage in foolishness further. The foolishness of what? Preaching. And I know that as God lives, the word that is going out is creating in the lives of people. One of the greatest testimonies, I've heard many of them, but one that I heard in recent times was the one I referred to you, that a young man wrote me, they called me and said, sir, your book impregnated my wife, literally, physical pregnancy. That my wife read your book, The Law of Life, and she became pregnant physically. It reminded me of what Bishop Oyedepo said long ago. He said that he believes, now it doesn't sound like a joke, but he said that, look, he believes that you hear that women say that they have not been able to get pregnant. He said, are you living with your husband? He said, I don't understand. He said, because if I was a woman, I wouldn't even need a husband. He said, I remember that day when he was saying it in church. He said that the Bible said that the Spirit of God will overshadow Mary. He said, it's still happening. Even if you don't take it to the extreme, that will not need a man, what he's saying is still effective. Do you get my point? That the Spirit of God overshadows people and brings out something that people did not expect. One of the things I quote for my students when I'm teaching, because as a doctor in life, you must learn to give hope to people. You shouldn't take from them. Remember I told you a story once, that a friend of mine told me that Banky had killed somebody. I said, how did you do it? I told him he was going to die, and he died. I've summarized the story. He told the man, put your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Next time he saw the man had become critically ill. The first time he saw the man was ill, but not so bad. Then he made his diagnosis of the problem he had. He had a cancer, actually. And told the man, you have cancer of the liver, and you will die shortly. Less than a month after, the man was dead. The first day he saw the man walked from work to his office. So he called me and said, I think I killed that guy. How did I do it? I told him he was going to die, and he died. I heard another story. This was on Discovery Channel, of the doctor who said that he told a man like that. The man progressed in his disease as he said he would, and died as he predicted, except that after he died, an autopsy revealed that there was nothing wrong with him. It was on Discovery Channel. So the person interviewing said, so what do you do now? He said, oh, I never tell people the bad side anymore. He said, okay, what will you do if you see a patient who's really sick, crucially, critically sick, and the facts are that maybe 90% of the people will die within a year? He said, I will tell him that 10% live beyond a year. Do you get my point? That's what, look, that I will give him hope. So I tell my students, look, learn to give hope to your patients. Hope. One of the things, the story I'm always going to tell you is that normal sperm count for men
They are supposed to be normal. 20 million and above. 40 actually per meal is about the average. That's okay, but 20 million is accepted as normal. 20 million. I read an article and they said a man was demonstrated. The title of the article is demonstrated paternity in spite of severe, now I'm putting the word severe, oligospermia, which means that they said that this man had, instead of 400, everywhere you expected 400 as the lower limit of normal, he had one. His sperm count was 50,000. Lower limit of normal was 20 million. So much that they published it in one of the top journals on fertility in the world. They didn't give us the other side of the story. They never do. I wanted to ask the man, which miracle did you pray about? Because I know the Holy Spirit, like Bishop said, still overshadows people. So that which will be conceived, people will know that it's of the glory of God. Are you getting my point? That is the foolishness of preaching. Listen, in fact, you know what? I feel highly anointed. I feel highly effective. I don't even want to teach you. No, if you want to hear knowledge of scripture, come on Monday. If you want Bible study, come on Monday. On Saturdays, it's just foolishness of preaching. I will talk the most disjointed sermon that you might succeed in life and you will know it's of the glory of God. Don't be surprised if I preach to you how to wake up late and sleep early. And you wake up at 5, pray in the Spirit for 1 hour, study for 1 hour, listen to one whole, two way of success messages, and go late to work. And once you are feeling uncomfortable, get up to go and listen to another message. Foolishness of preaching. No, I remember one day, this is just by the way. I have not listened to a message for some time. In fact, you know, No. I think about something. I said, God, I get a problem. We have to reorder some things. Because then, this one for maybe like for 3-4 days, I had not listened to a message or a week. And that day, I literally was uncomfortable. I was virtually trembling. So I called my friend. I said, Femu, any tips? I need a tape, anyone, I need one now. I'm Jonesy. You know what drug addict is called, Jonesy? I'm having withdrawal symptoms. So the guy stood, started reading out the tapes. He has this one. He said, I've listened to that one. I want another one. He said, okay, I have Born to Taste the Grapes by Mike Murdock. I said, okay, let me have them. So we ran down to his house. Then there was one small car, my cousin's one I borrowed. The car didn't have a tape player, but I had a Walkman. Inside the car, I put the tape, put it beside me in the Walkman, and plugged my ears and was driving. I was going somewhere in Ikeja. There was one clinic I was working there. I got there, all right? Finished one tape, listened to the other one before my body cooled down. So like that was close, this devil. I wanted to steal the word. I don't catch him back. Give me my word. Listen, when you get to that level in life, that you esteem his word more than your necessary food, that is sign to you that you can never fail on the surface of this earth. That is the foolishness of preaching. I said that what God wants to do. Do you know that Paul was not talking about divine health? I think. When the crippled man suddenly received the light and became well. I told a man called me once that he listened to the way of success and began to believe in God. You have listened also. What did I ever say to persuade you that there is God? The foolishness of what? Preach. When I say I'm connected, I know. In fact, I don't think I know how connected I am. Because whatever I can imagine now is far inferior to the degree of connection that I really have. Yes. Let me tell you the truth. They will be falling over themselves, men and women, to do me favors in this life. I know what I'm saying. Because I told you before, you can't give God thanks in your room and say, Father God, I just thank you. That is cheap thanksgiving. You know what real thanksgiving is? You will remember how God brought effects in your life. What am I going to say? That is, the word I am preaching, I am so sure of it now. that let Yar'Adua die if he wants, and let PDP postpone the election indefinitely, you listening to me will not be affected. You will never fail. If PHCN decides to hold the power totally, it is so as to create vacuums for people who I'm preaching to build the power companies. Are you getting my point? Let fuel oil dry in the ground. The power of the words that I am now, I know what I'm saying. It is so as to make people create vehicles that don't need oil. But that the word of God will not produce in the lives of the people I preach to, it is too late for it to happen. Not one jot. Are you getting my point? Not one jot will ever fail. God said that word, it won't go anywhere. It will be, I have preached so much in this my little life, that Nigeria can't break, this earth cannot even come to an end yet. Where will the word go? God said it cannot return until it is fulfilled. So there is enough power in the air, keeping everything stable so that the glory of God might be manifested. You see where I'm connected? You get what I'm going to say? You know, I almost made one foolish decision. I had learned so much, you know, by preaching, by reading and all that, that I said, let me show some things to people. I told my wife, this year, I will join you in doing business. All of you are laughing. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. It's a very foolish decision. A very stupid thing to think about from Banky. Are you getting my point? It's like me saying I want to release an album. It's not funny. See, you're all laughing. So, you know, I don't even know. One day I just speaking and I was for Chambers. I read one paragraph. I can't remember what he said. And usually you won't remember such times. All I know is that at the end I said, God, did I say that? I said, I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. How could I have thought about that? I said, no, all that energy, you know what I will use it for? The foolishness of preaching. Where I would have labored and made 1,000 naira. Listen, I will preach and 1,000 people will make 1,000,000 naira each. That is what is called grace. I have become more effective. That's why I said in this life, I am connected. Nigeria cannot make me unconnected. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But this is my message. That God wants to glorify himself in your life. And he said, there's only one way I do it. The foolishness of what? Preaching. Listen. Instead of rushing out early in the morning to go and get connected to a human being, wake up early in the morning. You know one of the reasons why I like Way of Success? See this. All right? And I'm in the preacher, so I can tell you this. Oh, you are listening to it, you can also be a witness. It's 30 minutes rapid results college. You know what I say? Back, 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 back. Deliver it almost without breathing in between. 30 minutes and it's up. I like that kind of one. That is, in the morning, just stand, don't brush, just stand in front of the deck like this. Close your eyes. And fight. Look, listen. That day, life will respond to you. 30 minutes. Hot, uninterrupted. All the Satans we miss. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, that is how life works. So, when you will have run to go and then be making connections, and then listen, connections will be calling your house. Shane, right now, you're the one calling everybody. You know, only scratching card. Good morning, sir. Yeah, you said I should call you, sir. Is there anything happening, sir? And your boss are still waiting. Shane, that is your situation now. Don't feel bad. Right now, instead of calling, anytime the idea comes to your mind to call, listen to 5 minutes of preaching. Hear the word of God for a few minutes. Then this is what, now listen, I'm preaching now. This is what will happen to you shortly. At a point in time, you will have to get another line so that people will not know that one exists because of the fact that the other line won't stop ringing. Those you were calling before will now be the ones calling, one after the other. I do the testimony of a friend of mine. He sat down Jeje in Enugu. And one of the biggest men of Nigeria phoned him and said, hello. I'm so and so. I was given your number by this person. Like, really me? You are calling me? The man said, can we see tomorrow night? I said, yes, sir, no problem. You are in Lagos, I'm in Enugu, but doesn't make any difference. Tomorrow evening, I'm in your house.
Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when I told you that this is what will begin to happen to you, believe me, I give that to you as a testimony because it has happened before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What is God trying to do in all of these things? He wants to glorify Jesus Christ. That is, this man became something. I like one thing, Bishop. You know, Bishop blessed my life so much. That's why you hear me call some people a lot. He said, God said it like this, follow me and I will make you. That is, you were nothing before, I will make you. If you follow me, it does not matter what you were not before, I will make you. Then one day I read the scriptures and I remember that Samuel told Saul, he said, were you not nothing in your own eyes, yet God made you. I said, so the nothingness of yourself in your own eyes right now does not mean anything. God will, not can, but will. Because you see, I told you before, God does not just brag about what he can do, but what he will. Do you get what I say? When God talks about himself, when he said, my glory I won't share with another, it doesn't mean that you say, I made Jupiter, nobody was there. If he did not make Jupiter, dear Lord, I would not have missed Jupiter. You know, all this Thanksgiving, Father, I thank you, you that created Pluto. Dear Father, remove Pluto, I won't lose one night's sleep. You made all the galaxies. Maybe the galaxy is good, but I can't realize it. No, I'm telling you. You want to appreciate God? God doesn't want to say, oh, dear God, you know, oh, the scientists tell us that there are 100 billion galaxies. You, God, the creator of galaxies, how great thou art. Even God is bored without praise. When David danced in front of the ark, and Micah complained about the fact that he overly exposed himself, what did he say? He said, was it not before God who made me king in place of your father? It wasn't that the God that created Pluto. That is, you know who I'm dancing before? The person who did something tangible in my life that I felt and you too noticed. Are you getting my point? That is, I'm telling you what God will do. All this we are saying, he will do it. What does he want to do? That's how he gets glory. Let's not fool ourselves that you see God, if God wants glory, he'll just go create another Jupiter. You know, on the earth, network news will not, what's it called, CNN will report that one new planet was sighted, and that's the end of it. Nobody will rejoice. Nobody will rejoice. No, nobody will rejoice. But what makes a man, a woman break into rejoicing? God said, I am the one that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. To the barren woman, remove 2 million galaxies. She does not care. Give her one son, she will sing psalms. You are getting my point? Let me close my message, please. I don't want to take too long. I said last week, settle down and dream. Dream uselessly wild and big dreams. And then wake up and listen to the foolishness of preaching. That the gospel of Christ may be described by your life, that Jesus might be glorified in your life. That's my message for today. I have nothing else to say. Let us pray.